Hey all, it is I, Anthony the Canadian Guy, and welcome to WrestleSode, the solution to your wrestling information problems. WrestleSode is a member of the Win Column Sports Network, so remember to check us out at wincolumnsports.ca to be kept up to date on everything happening here in Alberta in the world of wrestling. I have a treat for all of you today. I am bringing you a conversation with the king of thick style, the thickness, the PWA Mayhem Champion, Reed Matthews. It was an amazing interview. He actually came to my house, sat down with me, so the quality of the interview is the highest that it's ever been, and it was a really fun chat. I hope all of you will be enjoying it. And as a quick side note as well, this is a very busy week for Calgary Wrestling. We have two shows going on this week. In 2 days, on February the 7th, we have RCW Presents Can-Am Retro for Ret, which is a charity show. The tickets are a minimum of $20 donation at the door. All proceeds are going to be going to purchasing a wheelchair accessible van for Ret Hart. And already a couple of matches are announced for that match. Heavy Metal and Scott Lee Crew taking on Matt Hart and the returning Torrey Hart. Steve Rivers, Steve Wilde, and the big sexy beast Bradley Graham taking on Steven Stiles, the Filipino bad boy Tony Machete, and Plastic Pants Jordan Aries. And that's on Friday. And then on Saturday, we have PWA Evolution that'll be taking place at the Cedar Bray Community Center between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. on Saturday, February 8th. And a couple of the matches announced for that are going to be Body Break, the team of Bobby Sharp and the PWA heavyweight champion Michael Allen, Richard Clark, taking on the Western Lions, which consists of Michael Richard Blaze and Brandon Van Danielson. As well, we're also going to have Taryn from Accounting making her Calgary debut versus Zoe Sager. So it's going to be a great show. So you remember to tune in for those shows this Friday and Saturday here in Calgary. But before we do get into that, let's talk to our PWA Mayhem champion, Reed Matthews. And we'll hear from him right after this.
From Lanny McDonald to Daryl Sutter, Mark Messier to Cale Makar. Before you're a star, you've got to make it in the AJHL. On Saturday mornings, TSN 1260 takes an in-depth look inside the Alberta Junior Hockey League. Join Tyler Yaremchuk from 9 to 10 a.m. for previews, reviews, and interviews from around the AJ. Inside the AJHL, Saturdays from 9 to 10 a.m. only on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260.
Hey everyone, Anthony here. I am joined with the PWA Mayhem Champion, the Thickness, the King of Thick Style, Reed Matthews. Thickness, how are you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing awesome. How are you doing?
I am doing fantastic. As you can tell, I'm excited for you to be here. If you turn around, you'll actually see your t-shirt just hanging on the wall right there.
You put that there on purpose, didn't you?
I've said on a couple of different podcasts that I have your shirt in my room like 5 feet from me, so I just literally put it up there right
They're
now
perfect.
For this one. This is the first in-person interview that I've gotten to do, so this is kind of exciting for me. But so let's just start this off. This is your first ever interview.
First ever.
So I guess we have a couple of questions for you today. We've pulled the Twitterverse. There's some really fun questions. One of the questions I want to start with, and I thought it was a really good one we'll get into, was from Paul from the YYC Wrestling Hub. Where did the Thickness come from? How did you get into wrestling? Where did it all begin?
So I think this is interesting. I don't have a normal wrestling story. Everyone started watching wrestling when they were young. I didn't start watching wrestling until 2014.
Hey, that's totally... Everybody's got a story, right?
But this is the thing. I discovered wrestling because there was a Rock documentary on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Dwayne Johnson had his documentary on there. And I'm like, oh, I know Dwayne Johnson. So started watching it. I'm like, oh, this looks really cool. And I watched another one. And I think after that it was Stone Cold. And then I watched Triple A. I just watched a bunch of wrestling documentaries. And in my head, I'm like, you know what? Like, this still has to be going on. Like, this can't be canceled or anything. Sure enough, turn on my TV on Monday, and it's there. I was so shocked. And then, like, looking back, like, all my friends growing up watched wrestling. Had no clue. I watched, when I think real back, and I tried to watch wrestling once, I watched one match. I couldn't even tell you what show it was. It was some guy who kind of reminded me of Richard Simmons, and some guy who resembled Batista, but I'm pretty sure they called him Roadrunner. But I had no clue. I couldn't tell you if it was WCW, if it was WWE, TNA. Couldn't tell you.
It was just some lost, forgotten match that one day you kind of hope that you'll just stumble across again. You'd be like, that's what it was.
Yeah. So it was so crazy thinking about it now because I'm like, me and my friends used to wrestle on the trampoline. Still had no clue. So then when that came up, and like I think I started watching the Monday the Monday Night Raw before Daniel Bryan won the title from John Cena.
Oh, like, wow.
That's literally when I started watching. And from there, I just loved it. It was so interesting to me. And so I went to college, and I was like hemming and hawing about it. I'm like, this is so cool. I'd like to do it. And originally, I was actually going to go to the heart school. And had some miscommunication there. And then my dad was like, oh, well, this other fan of wrestling knows Lance puts on a school. So I contacted Lance, and that's how that all started.
So you got to train with Lance Storm.
Yep.
So I've gotten, thankfully, I've had a couple of people now who have gotten to train with Lance Storm on the podcast. So I'm going to ask you the same question I've asked every single one of them. You get stories of Lance being like able to stare a hole through you. You get the stories that he's the most jovial kind of comic, like he'll rib you good. Mm-hmm. So when you think of Lance Storm, what do you see? Because I'm sure most audience people would look at Lance Storm and go, stare a hole through you, right? Mm-hmm. What do you see when you see Lance?
He's definitely different in person. Like he has that face where he stares a hole into you. But like as soon as you get him talking about wrestling, it's like a kid in a candy store. He's so happy to talk about it. So you get a little bit of it when like he joins Chris in his podcast. You see that little kid light up in him. But definitely totally different from your first impression.
It's so weird. Like, I'll even say this as a person who, like, in the Alberta independent scene started as a fan before I did any podcasting. And I've gotten to peek a little bit behind that curtain, and everybody's just so super cool. I just love everybody in this province when it comes to wrestling. So it's so great when someone like a Lance Storm was such a foundation piece of the Calgary scene for so long.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think back on your time with Lance Storm, you got to have at least like one thing that always stuck out to you. The biggest lesson you ever learned from Lance Storm. Can you think of what that is?
He taught us so much.
I said this when I spoke with Zoe, is that I understand that he taught you how to be an entire wrestler. Mm. So it's really hard to pull that out of you. But if you could think back, like, do you have something like a one word lesson or something that you can think of?
One wordless man.
Or like a one sentence. You know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's just, I feel like there's so many times I look back and I'm like, oh yeah, Lance taught me this. Lance taught me that. I think a big one he always taught us was just like, if you think you're taking too long, way longer. That's big. Because like when you're in the ring, there's times you're like, oh man, it's been like a minute. And then you're looking back, it's like, I was standing there for 3 seconds. I could have waited so much longer. That was a big one, and it took a long time to really get to know what it actually meant. Just being able, just like almost like setting the scene more compared to just like rush and go.
It's not always about the next move kind of thing. There's a lot more intricacies. It's like a dance kind of a thing.
It's almost like the other saying is like less is more.
Less is
more.
You make
less things look good than rushing 15 things, right? Like 5 things are good, 15 things are bad, but you'd rather the 5 good things, right?
Absolutely. So I have another question for you. So you said you don't have your typical wrestling story growing up, watching it, having all the different legends, having every match memorized. Going into the world of professional wrestling and training under somebody like a Lance Storm, being, I would say, relatively new to the entire scene, mm-hmm. did you get looked at weird as like, who is this guy? Like, how does he not know Ric Flair's like 17 or 16 wins perfectly from memory? You know what I mean?
Going in the beginning, it was really intimidating because everyone I went to school with was like, oh, I know this. I started wrestling here. And I'm like, God, half the people you guys are talking about, I don't know. But it actually wasn't too bad because there's actually a few people who are just like, that's crazy that you literally knew wrestling for 2 years and then you decided to do it.
I got to say, that is kind of crazy. I kind of love that story, though. And the reason I like this story so much is because I hear from so many different people. They're like, oh, I really like wrestling, but like, I'm kind of intimidated to get into something like that because like, I don't know everything. And if you have ever paid attention to the world of Twitter and wrestling, if you don't know every single thing in the world, you're a fake fan. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
It's bad, right? But it doesn't feel that way when you're at like a local indie event or anything like that.
No. But I think a bigger thing nowadays, like, thanks to the world of the internet and like the WWE network, I was able to try and catch up a little bit. So now when people like mention names, I have an idea of who it is. I still couldn't tell you all their great feats, but I have an idea who that is.
That's totally fair. So now, so you came in 2014. You got the episode before Daniel Bryan winning the championship from John Cena. You must have some favorite wrestlers at this point, some people that kept you drawn. Can you name some of your favorite wrestlers?
It changes every time I think about it, but like my top two are totally John Moxley and Chris Jericho.
Those are two great. Well, you must have just, you must be absolutely enthralled with AEW right now.
I am.
Then.
I just, like, looking back and like, because like I look at like all the documentaries were like, oh, the history of this person, history of that person. It's like Chris Jericho has literally been like the ultimate puzzle piece. He fits in every situation and it works. And I almost feel like sometimes like when you're like, oh, they're all greats, it's like Chris Jericho is up there because he literally, he's like 50 some now and he's still doing great. There's some 50-year-olds who can't even get in the ring and bump no more.
No, absolutely. Right? Let alone be a world champion, have their own crews, help start an entire promotion that's completely rivaling the WWE, which hasn't happened since WCW. Like, it's crazy. The guy is so good. The guy has a natural mind for wrestling.
Yeah, and I feel like sometimes it's not necessarily ignored, but there's like other feats that people look at, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So let's get back to you a little bit here and talk a little bit about the thickness. Where the heck did the thickness come from, my friend?
So when I started wrestling, I wasn't like jacked, but I was a big guy. And at the time, Colton Kelly picked me up. We formed the Millennial Rebels, and then we picked up Kenneth Anthony. And every time I saw Kenneth Anthony, he just called me thick. He's like, oh, I'm looking thick today. And Colton Kelly would do the same thing. And then just one day, we were just in the back, and they look at me, and they're like, you should go out as the thickness tonight. I'm like, sure, why not? Like, it's wrestling. You don't know what's going to work. And sure enough, it worked so good.
Oh, like, yeah.
It's complete surprise how well it went over. Just the silliest thing. It, like, thinking back on it and, like, looking at it, like, from an outside perspective. Like, if you go to some random person in the street, be like, oh, this guy's the thickness. Like, they're going to give you a weird look.
But, I mean, that could be said for almost anything in the world of wrestling. If you're like, hey, random person on the street, wrestling, they'll just give you a weird look anyways,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Thickness works, by the way, so good because, I mean, you've got some of the best chants. It's so much fun just being in the audience and just you chanting. It's like, thick as fuck. You know what I mean?
Oh,
or
yeah.
you're, he's too thick or something like that. It works so well.
It does. And it's like surprising hearing the fans come up with these. I'm like, oh, those are really good, right? And then like when we did the clandestine show and I was in the clusterfuck, I'm like, I have to do thick as fuck.
Oh,
like,
yeah. As soon as I saw that shirt, I was so excited.
I'm working on that shirt. It's in the books.
I'm going to be buying one of those shirts when they come. I mean, I can't wear it to work. I can still wear the King of Thick
style.
You
should wear it under your normal clothes.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'll look thick as fuck wearing two layers at the
exactly.
very least. So that's good. So you, I would say your home promotion right now is the PWA. Obviously, you do wrestle in Force Pro Wrestling as well. But let's talk a little bit about your time in the PWA. So you trained under Lance. When did you graduate?
I graduated in March of 2015.
March of 2015. So did you start in the PWA right away?
Pretty much. Lance talked with Kurt Sorokin, and I just started working right away, pretty much. Like, I was involved in a 6-man tag as, like, a trial run, and they liked me. And I was also one of the few guys who stayed because we had a lot of international people. And I've just been worked ever since. So I was by myself, just as Reed Matthews. I think it was October. Yeah, it was Fright Night. And then that's when me and Colton Kelly got together. And then we were in the Millennial Rebels for so long. And it's weird to think, like just a year ago, like, we split up. And this year was our big match.
It was, since you've split from the Millennial Rebels, it just feels like things have gone the thickness's way.
Yeah.
Would you say that would be accurate?
Yeah, 2019 was a big year for me. And I didn't see it happening that way, but it did. And it's just kind of really nice to feel like at the end of the year to feel like this was really good.
Well, I mean, from wrestling, I would say, you know, like in the Saddle Dome to being at like an invite only show as the clusterfuck or to be a PWA Mayhem champion, for instance. Let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah.
How did you win that championship?
I put my former teammate, Kenneth Anthony, through a table. I don't remember what show it was called, but it was the February Edmonton show for PWA, just before the anniversary show, which almost worked out in my favor. Because, like, for, like, the months prior, I've been chasing Colton Kelly because he's a dickhead. Kicked me out just because he's greedy. But to have that fall in my, like, I won't say fall in my lap because, like, I worked hard for it. But to have that, like, get that opportunity to be like, this is exactly what I needed in the time I needed it was just magical almost.
So I guess that means you're closing in on your 1 year at this point as the PWA Mayhem Champion.
I am. I think is it 341 days?
That's good. Yeah. I like the numbers. It proves that you actually care about it when you know your numbers, right?
Oh, so before I was just like, when this next show comes, it's been a year because I'm terrible remembering dates. But then it was actually Spencer Love who's just like, oh, yeah, you've been a champion for this long. I'm like, oh, sweet.
Spencer is a plethora of knowledge around here. That guy, there's nobody that I would rather go to. And I'm like, hey, I have a question. I go straight to Spencer, thankfully. Mm. So that actually brings me up here. So this Saturday, because we're recording this for next week, you'll be at the PWA show here in Calgary. Do you have an announced match yet?
No.
No? All right. Well, I guess we're going to be excited to see what happens there. Like, we saw you at the Force Pro show earlier this month, and you had a nice open challenge, and we saw that Shotgun Sid Green answered that challenge. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like to wrestle a debuting wrestler like Shotgun Sid Green?
It was different. Like, we had that interaction at the clandestine show.
Great powerbomb, by the way.
Thank you. Takes a real something out of me to do that. Like, it really caught me off surprise. Like when he came to the clandestine show, it was almost like Stone Cold walked into the room. It was kind of cool. But then when we started wrestling, it was just like, what's it going to take to put this kid down?
He's kind of crazy.
He is kind of crazy. So I was like, I hit that blue thunderbomb and he kicked out. I'm just like, what on earth am I going to do next now? Like, that was it. Like, I've put everybody away with that. Like, other than Michael Richard Blaze, that took two of them, but like, everyone goes down to that. So I was almost like lost in my own thoughts, and he literally and physically slapped me into my senses, and I just had to put him down with anything I could think of. And those were the two things I could think of was the Canadian Destroyer and the Orange Crush Powerbomb.
And it worked.
Oh, it did the job.
It did work, so congratulations to you. You've got a really good record over the last year. Between both PWA and Force Pro Wrestling. Obviously, you had a little bit of confrontation there with the Spaceman Barry Grayson up there in Force Pro. Unfortunately, didn't quite get the handle on him that time. But besides that, over the last 365 days, approximately, your one-on-one record is, like, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's crazy, like, looking back. Like, even, like, non-stipulation matches, I still had a pretty good record.
Talking about stipulation matches, though, I mean, I don't think there's anybody in Alberta who I think thrives in a stipulation match a little bit more than the thickness Reed Matthews. But a couple of quick questions here for you. I'm going to pull out some questions that I got from the Twitterverse because we kind of dive in and out a little bit between some of the questions that they've asked. We got some fun questions here from some other wrestlers as well. But we'll start with this one. This is from Spencer Love, obviously, from the WCSN. What is your favorite type of stipulation match?
You know, I'd probably have to say last man standing. I think you just get so much free reign to do anything, right? Like, when it comes to, like, a tables match, it's exciting, but it's just tables, right? It's a ladder match, it's just ladders. Where it was, like, last man standing, it's like, whatever I can get my hands on. We had road signs, kendo sticks, a basketball hoop. I threw him down bleachers. Like, it was just anything you could get your hands on, and that is, like, a really big thing of, like, the psychology. Like, I can't just go in and be like, I'm just going to pin him in the rings. Like, I got to bring him anywhere I can. I got to grab him, throw him into whatever's near me. Right? It's almost like true freedom in a weird sense. Like, you're not confined to anything, so it's, like, whatever it takes to win.
That's awesome. And it goes to show you that exactly why you are the Mayhem Champion when you're like, it's just tables, it's just ladders. Like, to me, I'm like, that's a terrifying thought. But hey, that's why you're the Mayhem Champion and I'm over here not taking bumps.
Right?
All right, another quick question here for you. Do you, and this is from Mike Ducey, aka the sign guy who comes out from Saskatchewan, do you have any plans to compete outside of Alberta, or are you mostly content competing in the Edmonton and Calgary areas?
I would love to travel and do this. But I'm not really free to do that all the time. Like, I still, like, I got day jobs. I got bills to pay. But I feel like if anybody out there wanted to shoot me a message and just give it a try, totally up for it. I'll go. I don't care if it's the States. I don't care if it's Europe. I don't care. Wherever it is, I'd love to try and go. Because, like, 2019 for me almost, like, reinvigorated my love for wrestling. So to be able to go out and expand myself, because I won't say, like, I outgrew Alberta, but as, like, I feel like expanding and going elsewhere will just make me better.
That's, and I love that you say it like that. So Mike Ducey, for instance, he got to see you for the first time at the Clandestine show, because I was having a conversation with him, and I remember he was like, holy crap, the thickness is so good and over. I was like, yeah, that's why he's the king of thick style.
Right?
I got a question here from Paul over at the YYC Wrestling Hub. Was there a moment after you started watching wrestling that it clicked in you that was like, I have to be a wrestler?
Trying to think when that was, because, like, I watched it for so long and I hem and hawed about it, and I thought about it, and people around me at the time were like, oh, no, don't do that. But I want to say, weirdly enough, is when Brock Lesnar beat John Cena with, like, those 16 suplexes at SummerSlam.
Oh, yeah, those,
like,
Germans.
It'd be so, in my head, I'm like, it'd be so cool to be like, I'm the guy who beat Brock Lesnar, right? Like, I think Brock Lesnar's a good wrestler. He's not my favorite, but it was just kind of weird in the sense it's just like him just ragdolling John Cena for 5-10 minutes is the reason I wanted to wrestle.
That's awesome. So promoters out there, if anybody wants to bring in Matt Riddle, we have a number one contender to take Brock Lesnar's career here. Another quick question here, also from Paul at the YYC Wrestling Hub. What makes you excel at the weirdest match stipulations? What is it in you that it's just like, nah, this is my type of match?
See, that's weird, because there were some stipulations where I was like, really? Out of everything you could think of, this one? Like, I know me and Bobby Sharp had that flag on a pole match, and I'm just like, really? A flag on a pole?
It's like 1983.
What do I do with this? And it turned out real well. It was a good match, so I was quite surprised by that. I think it's just, like, if that's what the match stipulation is, that's it. Just focus on that, and that's what makes it even better, right? If it's a ladder match, use the ladder. Beat someone up with a ladder. Climb the ladder. Fall off the ladder sometimes, unfortunately. But I think it's just focusing on what it is. And that's where, like I said earlier, like the last man standing match, you're so free to do whatever that you just grab anything.
So it's essentially embrace the chaos.
Yeah, pretty much.
I like that a lot. All right, I got a question here as well from the spaceman, Barry Grayson, who we mentioned a little bit earlier. So he wants to know who your favorite millennial rebel was when you were part of the group, and one thing that you learned from each member, and maybe who taught you the most.
See, that's hard to pick the favorite.
Well, apparently he wants to create some controversy around Alberta here. So,
I can't say I hate the guys, because, like Colton Kelly picked me out of a crowd to be with him, right? You know, Kenneth Anthony was a huge supporter. Like, he was pretty much the one who gave me the name Thickness at the end of the day. So, like, I really can't pick one over the other. Like, Colton Kelly taught me a lot. Like, at the end of the day, he's just like, do this. Like, he's the reason I did the cannonball, right? He was just like, you should go do the cannonball. I'm like, okay, right? Because he had faith in me. And then from then I had faith on myself. And then with Kenneth Anthony, it was just pretty much everything. It was just the support from him was overwhelming all the time. So I cannot pick a favorite. Learning from both of them, like I said, like Colt Kelly was a lot of moves. Like, if I had to give credit to, like, most of who I am as a wrestler now, it'd be to those two. Just for everything at the end of the day that they made me.
That's, I like that. And they also made you champion at the end. So,
well, no, I made you champion.
You made you champion. They laid down and got their ass beat.
Exactly.
So, I have a question here from Lana. What is a dream match that you would love to be a part of? If you could wrestle any indie wrestler, who would it be? And any professional wrestler? So I guess that's three different questions. Let's start with, what's your dream match that you would love to be a part of?
She actually mentioned it before. It'd be a street fight with Jon Moxley.
Oh, that's, yeah.
That'd be sweet.
that would seem like chaos. I saw that little match that he had there with Kenny Omega. That was a little bit brutal. So I'll leave that to you to do. So that would also, I assume, be the person you would like to wrestle as a professional wrestler more than anybody?
Yeah, I feel like, because I think for me, a big thing is like I need to feel ready to do it. And him or Chris Jericho, I'll probably be more ready to wrestle Jon Moxley. Just kind of give myself time to be ready for that, right? Because like that's a big thing, wrestling one of the pros, right? That's a big step, and you really need to be like physically and mentally ready for it. And I think like if I'm in the ring and Chris Jericho comes in the ring, oh man, I don't know what my brain would be doing. I'd just be like, oh my god, it's Chris Jericho. I gotta get an autograph, not wrestle him.
I just getting in line to get an autograph with him and like get a picture with him was intimidating. And I'm like, I wouldn't even want to try to step in the ring with that guy. His arms are so big, it's scary. Well, I guess you know what it's like. Yes. So. All right. I have a question here from Marcel. Oh, actually, I guess the second part of that. What about an indie wrestler within? Like, do you have like a dream indie match?
Marty Scurll.
Marty Scurll, oh, yeah. Villain. The villain versus the thickness.
I'm a big like energy person. Whoever has the most energy, and like when you can definitely tell when it's just like Joe Blow versus like this guy, right? And Marty Scurll's one of those guys. Just like he gets in the rings, like you pay attention. You know, it's not like because you'll see it. You watch Raw or AEW or whoever, and it's just like you pick your phone up because it's not exciting, right? But it's like, these guys, come on. You're like, I got to put my phone down because I don't know what they're going to do, what they're going to say, or how this is going to go. But I need to watch. And he's definitely one of those guys.
That's awesome. I really like that. I'm also a big fan of the villain. So I understand. When you say, like, you just put your phone down, yeah, I get it. I understand exactly what you're trying to say. This is from Marcel. Which wrestler in Canada have you not faced in Canada, but you're biting at, or you're chomping at the bit to get in the ring with?
No, I don't know any. I really don't know anyone outside of the province. So I won't lie. Like, other than like the Saskatchewan boys and now Artemis Spencer and Nicole Matthews, those are really the only people outside of Alberta I know. But people I haven't wrestled and I want to wrestle, Dylan Featherstone.
Oh, Dylan Stone, that'd be really good.
Right there, I think that'd be a good one. He's one of those guys. He's got good energy in the ring, and it's just, I feel like getting in there and wrestling it out would be real good.
Well, I guess my question is, would we ever see a thickness and a dildo on a pole match?
As weird as this is going to say, never say never in wrestling.
Hey, totally fair. I like that. I got a question here from JT, and this is one of my favorite questions. Are you, in fact, too thick?
There's no such thing as being too thick.
There you go. Well, every crowd that I've been a part of saying he's too thick, I guess we should say he's consistently growing thickness. I should be the new chant. But so I got a couple more quick questions here for you. Some that come from me as we come close to wrapping all of this up. And this is a question I like to ask everybody. Throughout the millennia, essentially, of wrestling, there has been thousands of different championships. Obviously, you came in 2014. But out of any different championship that you've ever seen across any promotion, excluding the Mayhem Championship, because I know that's your championship, is there another piece of gold or another belt out there that you would love to call, you know, Reed Matthews, the thicknesses belt?
Oh, man, that's difficult. Because I feel like any wrestler would like to say, like, any of the Fed belts, right? Just to say, like, you had this belt at one point in your career means something. Like, even if it's just like PWA or Force Pro or whoever, right? I feel like to me, having a title means something. It's very important to, like, not necessarily like how you stand, but how far you might go. So like if I had to pick one, like I'd entirely pick like the WWE Championship or the AEW Championship, because like I'd aim for the top, right?
See, I like that as an answer, because most people would say something like a very specific type of belt because they came from the past. I like that you come in and you're just like, I just want to be the top guy. Yeah. I want to be the best. And that's why you're the Mayhem Champion.
Exactly.
I like that. Okay, another quick question here for you. So 2020 is now upon us. You had an amazing 2019. When you look forward into the next year, is there anything in specific you would love to achieve this year?
Like I said, I'd like to travel. Like if it works out, I'd love to travel. I think it'd be cool to wrestle my first name person, but that's not for me to decide. But that'd be cool to have, because I feel like 2019 was just such a good year. I feel like to keep that momentum going would be to like keep upping the ante almost, right? Maybe I won't go as silly as Sean Moore and put my title on the line against Sean Spears, but to have the opportunity to wrestle someone who's like had a lot more experience than me, like even like wrestling Michael Richard Blaze just earlier in January, was like a big thing, because it's like that was my first singles match with him, and that meant a lot. Because like I've done a couple tags back in the day when I was a Millennial Rebel, but to have a singles match with him was a totally different experience, and I just feel like you need to keep having those different experiences to grow, to become better, right? I don't remember who said that quote, but it's like you learn more from losing than you do winning.
Oh, it's something that I live by.
If I need to go get my ass beat by somebody, like from some professional or even just someone in a different company or in the same company, like as long as I learned from it, I will get better.
When you look back at all the different matches that you've had over the last couple of years, are there any matches that really stand out for different reasons? Maybe it's your favorite match you've ever done, or that you thought you did the best in, or that you just thought the story was amazing, or the crowd was just really hot. When you think back, what are your favorite matches you've done?
Just me and Colton Kelly wrestling. That whole us teaming together. We were together for almost 3 years. We split, kicked me out, jerk. Came back. I came back, and this was something crazy. Like, so I came back. I left anniversary show, came back, Night of Champions. And when I came in and I grabbed that chair from him and I cracked him in the head, that place just erupted. Like, Nate was so loud that day. And from there on, I'm like, this is going to be good. What we got here is good, a good start. And then everything we did, everything, even including the things we did with Kenneth Anthony, the things I did with Titan at the time when he was a Millennial Rebel, like all of them just was great stepping stones till that match. Like that Last Man Standing match was the period to our book of how that went. And I wouldn't change any part of it for the world, because that was just perfect. And I, like, looking back, I'm like, that was, I don't, it'll be probably hard to like make that happen again. I loved being a part of the Clandestine Society and the Clandestine Show. That was so cool. Just to, like, be in something different, you know? And, like, even the, like, wrestling at the Saddle Dome, that was a big deal, right? Because I believe we were the first indie promotion to wrestle there. I could be wrong on that. But we were, like, it was a big deal for us to be there and wrestle and to not only just get the opportunity, but to also keep my title that day was really cool. I think that those were really the big ones. Like I feel like I like a lot of my matches. Don't get me wrong. I don't watch any of my matches. I'm my biggest critic. I cannot watch myself, but like, just, I'm like, when I go in, do the job, come out, everybody's happy. Crowd was happy. I'm happy for the most part, but definitely Colton Kelly and I kicked ass beginning of this year and the end of last year. The end of last year or beginning of last year and the end of the year before.
Yeah, I guess so, because it's 2020 now. Yeah, new decade. There's a lot of new numbers at this point. But yeah, at that Clandestine Show, obviously Colton Kelly winning the death match that ended the show.
Oh yeah.
So fun to watch and terrifying. I was in the crowd and I was just going like, I hope I don't have to use my medical training here.
I won't lie, I was front row.
You were front
I
row?
I was in the front, yeah.
That's pretty. I was against the back wall, but thankfully before the match started, I moved away from that back wall because there was a lot of glass at that back wall.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about the match that you had at the Saddle Dome, because I am curious. Like you said, you were one of the, if not the first, definitely one of the very few indie promotions that have ever wrestled in the Saddle Dome. The list of names that wrestled in the Saddle Dome are almost all legendary and very few, because it's such kind of like a, you know, it's been really big in Stampede, but not in so many years. Being the first wrestling match that took place in that building, I believe in over a decade, like, just what was it like just looking out from being on the ice and just seeing all those people there?
So we were talking to like Rob Kerr, like about it through the whole entire night. So we got there. It was myself and Spaceman Barry Grayson. We were the first two there in the morning. We actually put together Bret Hart's ring.
Which was in the lobby.
Something. Just to put it together, to see it, to stand in it. We took bumps. Don't recommend that. It was pretty stiff. But like, it was so surreal. And it was just like, we walked out, because we came out from the Zamboni, so we walked out there and just looked out at the blank ice and the blank stands. And it's just like, wow, this is crazy that we're here right now. So we go, and they were telling us like the numbers, and it was almost like 3,000 people there. Like, that's our biggest crowd. Like, we got a few times at night, we got like 800 people, but this is a 3,000 people. These are people who've never came to a PWA show. They came for a hockey show and to see Bret Hart, and they got to see us. And from there, like, it only helps us go further, because it was such a good event. Because every match was received well. It sounded like the fans had a great time. Like, it was so surreal. Like, I remember they lined everyone in the ring, and I'm waiting behind the curtain for my music, and I'm like, wow, my entrance music is getting played at the Saddle Dome. It was crazy.
It's crazy, and I gotta say that Unstoppable by Motionless and White is a great freaking theme song, just for the record. I'm going to be doing a podcast on my favorite theme songs around Alberta. I'm not going to tell you where you land. I just got to figure out the whole, how do I put the music on a podcast without getting copyright strikes? Well, I'll figure it out one of these days.
Like a 15-second rule or something like that?
There's a lot of rules, and depending on where you go or where the originating stuff comes from, I'll figure it out.
All right.
That's my job. I'll figure it all out. But as we are going to be wrapping up here today, is there anything you would like to say out there to everybody who is listening? Maybe if people who've never heard you or seen you before, what's going to make them come to you? What's your 20-second elevator pitch?
20-second elevator pitch. That's my other weakness. I'm terrible at selling myself. That's a good idea. Just plug my social medias. But come out to indie wrestling show. Like, if you're in Alberta, come to a PWA show. Come to a Force Pro show. I'm definitely not what I look like I am. That's something I have always, like, been very happy about. Like, I'm the kind of guy who I look like I probably haven't hit the gym in a while, but I'll still pick you up, I'll still slam you down, and I'll still do a flip in the air for some reason. Like, I'll surprise you every chance I get, because I feel like when people look at me, they're, like, they almost underestimate me. And I'll borrow a part of a tweet from Davey O'Doyle, don't sleep on me. Because it'll be like a rude awakening, essentially, from there on. But if you want, I don't post much other than my wrestling, but my Twitter's at TheThickness7, and I got Instagram, which is TheThickness7 too. So I don't post much, but I would appreciate if you send me memes.
There you go. He's a big fan of the memes. Yes. Well, thank you very much for joining me. You will be wrestling this Saturday in Calgary at the Cedar Bray Community Center for the Prairie Wrestling Alliance. You're probably doing something with your title. We don't know what it is yet, but
I just walk in, get the job done, go home.
Well, yes,
grab
walk
some
in,
food on the way home.
Yeah, kick some ass. Maybe tacos later. I don't know. We'll figure it out. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me, buddy. Everybody, you got to be tuning in to The Thickness, the PWA Mayhem Champion, the King of Thick Style, because he is thick as fuck. Thank you so much, buddy.
Not a problem. Thickness!
What a fantastic chat sitting down there with the King of Thick Style, Reed Matthews. Thank you again to him for sitting down with me and talking his career over the last little bit and what we can expect to see from him in 2020 as well. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in here today. If you enjoyed the show, remember to hit that like button and subscribe on whatever podcast app you want to listen to this on. We're on a bunch, so it really does help out the show. It also helps out the show immensely if you left us a 5-star rating and review, if that is what you want to do. Remember to tune in this Friday for RCW's Can-Am Retro for Rhett, the charity show to bring to help donate money to Rhett Hart in getting him a wheelchair accessible van, as well as the PWA Evolution show going on this Saturday, February 8th at the Cedar Bray Community Center in Calgary here as well. So I hope to see everybody at these shows. I'll be at both of them, and I hope all of you have yourself a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon.